seek in the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, and the 10th verse. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation, and now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. What deep and profound revelations dear John of old had. Throughout this sacred part of God's holy word, there are some most blessed words set forth. And not only those blessed words, but two words of solemn warning and solemn thoughts that were given to John concerning these things. And our text is following the war that there was in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then we find this beautiful word in our text. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Satan, in this dark and solemn day, is manifesting his great power. Cast out of heaven, but making havoc throughout the earth. But the wonderful mercy is, beloved friends, the Lord is on the throne. Satan, he knows, as we read, that his days and time are short, when he will be confined with all his hellish crew into hell forever. But what about us? As we are born by nature, we serve the devil in our unregenerate days. But oh, what a mercy there is if the Lord has given us a grain of grace and live in faith. But while the child of God is here, Satan will do all he can to try and destroy them. And we have here the record of the Holy Spirit concerning him as the great accuser of the brethren, the Lord's dear people. And as we look around solemnly today, don't we see the devil in great power? I remember a dear old saint years ago, a godly man, said to me, he said, "You know, I know so much of the great power of Satan in attacking my soul, but," he said, "you know, there's a wonderful mercy, and that is the Lord is almighty. The devil is mighty, but the Lord is almighty." And we have here how the Lord overcame that great enemy, Satan. Michael and the archangel and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought with them. And if you and I are possessors of God's grace, we shall know how active and powerful Satan is, and he will fight against us, and he will attack the child of God right till they breathe their last breath, but he'll never destroy them. Why? Because they are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. We have in the verse following the text, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Oh, what a heavenly favour the Lord should grant to poor sinners, that precious blood that Satan can never take away from the heart of the child of God, their hopes in it, or their salvations in it. And we read, don't we, "But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." But this 10th verse seemed to so rest upon me last evening, and I trust it is the Lord's message. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, salvation," you see, "is to be given." Now is come salvation. Now is come salvation. Well, let's look at it in our own hearts. First, let us look at the first clause. "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven." You know, all real spiritual blessings and all the blessings God is pleased to give to his dear people, they must come down from heaven. It's like when the rain descends. It descends from heaven. Rain never goes up. And think about it spiritually. Those blessings that God gives to his dear people must come down from heaven. They come from above. Why? That the Lord might have all the glory. And dear John had just been given this wonderful view of the devil, that great dragon cast out of heaven into the earth. And then this voice from heaven. You notice it was a loud voice. You know, the Lord, and I just feel it laid upon me to just speak a few things concerning it, because the Lord is a sovereign. How he speaks to his dear people, how they hear his voice. I think particularly, you see, there were times where the Saviour spoke with a loud voice. You look at the grave of Lazarus, there was Lazarus lay dead in that grave, been there 4 days. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He called Lazarus with a loud voice. And oh, how Lazarus was brought forth from that tomb to praise and glorify the dear Redeemer. You see, the Lord loved dear Lazarus, and he loved the house of Martha and Mary. You know, I've often said that that was one of the most favoured houses there could ever be. The Lord was there, and these 3 souls were loved with his everlasting love. They were. But then we find concerning Elijah, the Lord spoke with a still small voice, didn't he? It was the same God that spoke to Elijah. It was the same dear Redeemer that spoke when he called Lazarus forth. But the vital thing is this. Do we know that voice? Well, let me come low. Do we long for the Lord to speak to us? I seek to be led into this, but you think of dear Samuel, you young ones. You often hear it spoken on the Sabbath school and through the ministry. And you can read in God's holy word how the Lord spoke to him while he was in his early days, dear Samuel. But what did Samuel say? Speak. For thy servant heareth. Now, look in our hearts this morning, have we the desire the Lord would speak to us? We sing in the hymn, don't we, speak and let thy servants hear. Now, dear John was favoured to hear the voice from heaven. He was no stranger to it. It's a solemn thing, you know, if we go right the way through our lives and know nothing of the Lord's voice. Jesus said, didn't he, in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So have we the desire the Lord would speak? Because if the Lord give us that desire, the day will come when he will speak. And I heard a loud voice. And oh, you see, when the Lord speaks, whether it be in a loud voice or a still small voice, that word that he speaks will be with such power, it will arrest the heart of the child of God. There's no getting out from it. Such will be the power. You know, when the Lord spoke with that loud voice to Lazarus, look at the effect it had. He brought him right up out of that tomb. Amidst all the corruption, the Lord overcame it all. And it may be you're in things today and they seem to weigh you down and overtake you and oppress you sore and Satan so active. But when the Lord speaks, he can bring you up out of it all in a moment. The second thing is this. Going back to the desire, David had it, didn't he? Given to him by God. Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, he longed for the Lord to speak. And is your heart like that this morning, longing for the Lord to speak, for his word to come with power? We read concerning the Lord Jesus that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And oh, you look at the power. Well, it's in our text, we'll come to it later, but oh, you think of it, the power of his voice. And then, of course, the Lord speaks to his dear people through his word. Do you know what it is to go to the word of God and in dire straits of soul or maybe in circumstance, and you open the word and it comes forth as gold to you. It shines forth as apples of gold in pitchers of silver. We think of two persons, if I may just say these things personally. I remember back in, I think it was 1964, when I was laid aside in deep affliction at the time, and the Lord spoke those beautiful words that he spoke in the book of Daniel. And you know, I've never forgot it. I went to the Word of God. I went into the bedroom and I fell on my knees before the God of heaven for him to appear in my soul, because I was in so much darkness and in the affliction I was in. And I should never forget it. You know, I'd got no strength at all and I felt to be at the ends of the earth. And I opened the Word of God, and all I saw on the page was this: O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And you know, not only in body, but in soul, the word was with such power, it lifted me right out of it all. And here, there was great power, you see, in the voice that came from heaven. Or there was. And what followed it? Now is salvation come. And that's just how it was in my soul. And in body too. Deliverance, you say. But then, the second time where it stood forth as gold was when I was so blessed on the farm, and I went to the Word of God with the great exercise of baptism upon me. And I went to the Word of God. The Lord had said to me, as I looked down into that stream, See, here is water, what doth hinder thee to be baptized? The voice came from heaven. And I went back to the farm and I opened the Word of God, and all there was, what I saw on the page, was this: For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And all the power that accompanied it took me to see the dear deacon that Saturday evening. But then he speaks through the preaching of the word. Oh, what a sweet encouragement it is. Sometimes it may be just one sentence. You know, one or two have said to me of late, as I've been up the country, and you know, just one sentence during this discourse that has been such power to them and brought them up out of all that they were in. And you say, what we need is the Lord to apply the word with power, because then it'll have a blessed effect in our souls, in the pathway we may be in. But then, of course, he does speak audibly. We know in these dark and solemn days and the day of the full gospel, the Lord does not speak so much audibly as he did to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and the old patriarchs through the word of God. They had not got the full gospel. But you see, he still does speak audibly. Oh, he does. Speak and let thy servants hear. And when he does speak, he'll give the soul that ear to hear what he speaks, whether it be of comfort, encouragement, or whether it be of reproof or correction. And I heard. Now, could we say what John did here, or do we desire to say what John did here? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, it must come, you see, from above. Now is salvation come. The devil was to be cast out. Some of you may be in bitter temptation today while the Lord has given me this word. And the devil's often beside you, and sometimes you feel he's going to completely destroy you. He's an arch enemy to the child of God. And he takes full advantage of every situation. Because wherever the Lord works, the devil will as well. Oh, he will. But you see, look how he attacked the dear Lord Jesus himself. You read Matthew and through the Gospels, the bitter temptations that the dear Redeemer endured. And may this be a sweet comfort to those of you that are tempted. He was tried and tempted too, all to succour every tempted, burdensome. It's a proof that you've got real religion if you know these bitter temptations and the onslaughts of the enemy. Oh, you think of the dear Redeemer. You know, sometimes I felt when bitterly tempted by Satan and tried, how can I endure it? Well, we cannot overcome the adversary ourselves, can we? But how did they overcome him? They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb. And oh, poor soul, when you feel that the adversary is going to destroy you, think of the Lord of life and glory. We may be tempted for a day or an hour, and the devil makes use of it all. But you think of the Lord of life and glory for 40 days and 40 nights. He endured these great accusations from Satan, the accuser, as it says in our text, of our brethren. But oh, what does it say? He's cast down. Which accused them before our God day and night. And you know, some of the darkest hours of the night, the devil makes and takes full advantage of them. Oh, he does. He'll attack on all fronts. But the mercy is this, the Lord has given his dear people a sovereign protector to keep them, to protect to protect them from the onslaughts of Satan. And I want to step back to this beautiful word. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is salvation come." Really, you know, dear Simeon, wonderfully proved this when they brought in the holy child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. All Simeon's salvation was in the dear Redeemer. Where's yours? Where's mine today? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby ye must be saved but in the precious name of Jesus. And you look how when they brought in that holy child, the dear Redeemer, oh, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Oh, all his salvation, all his hope, all his concerns regarding eternity were found in the dear Redeemer. Everything he needed was found in the dear Lord Jesus. And oh, we would exhort ever poor needy sinners to flee to him for salvation. But let me come low. Have we the desire, the psalmist? "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." Oh, is that not your continual prayer? Who is it that needs salvation? It's the poor, black, tempted, tried child of God that cannot deliver themselves, burdened and weighed down by sin and by sin oppressed. They need salvation from all those sins, from all the corruption there is within. Think of what the hymn writer said, "The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead." You see, all their salvation's in him. Oh, you think of those precious characters the Lord manifested salvation to in the Word of God while he walked this earth. The dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Oh, look how he manifests to her salvation, putting away all her sins. She went out of that house, you know, absolutely free from all sin and guilt. But she wasn't lifted up with pride by it, was she? Nor were you and nor will I. You'll be humbled and melted in the dust and say, in your poor soul, and I know she could have said it, "Why me? Oh, blessed God, why me? Why hast thou favoured me with this blessed salvation?" Wonderful theme, isn't it, salvation? We tried to look at it the other Thursday, didn't we, concerning Zacchaeus. Now is salvation come to this house. And oh, may that be spoken to your soul as it was to that dear man who had been a rebel and an enemy of the Lord. But you think of the Apostle Paul and Saul of Tarsus, how the Lord manifested to him that he was his salvation. The hymn writer said, "Salvation, oh my soul, do you long for it to die? Now is come salvation." You know, really, you'd be the happiest soul in Azore Chapel or throughout England, wouldn't you, or the British Isles, or throughout the earth for that matter, if the Lord was to say to your poor, tempted, tried, troubled heart, what's in our text, "Now is come salvation." You may say, "What, to such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free?" It is, it's absolutely free, poor soul. To souls that know and love the Lord, they long for him to say, "Now is come salvation." Complete deliverance, you see. What does the hymn writer say, and the Lord speaking really? "I deliver thee when bound, and when wounded, healed thy wounds." And do you not need it? Feeling so, and saving so, and in reality. Now is come. Look at the certainty of it. Now, let's look at each word first of all. Now. You know, when you're in dire straits, you need the Lord to appear now, don't you? You think of Solomon when he was to build the temple. What did David say to him? Well, those precious words, didn't they? "And now, my son." It wasn't tomorrow or next week. The time had come for him to build it. The Lord had told David that he should not build it because he was a man of war and of blood. And what does David say as the Lord showed David Solomon would build the temple? "And now, the time had come, you see. My son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou in building the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee." And think of the Apostle Paul when he was to leave the church at Ephesus. What does he say? The time had come for him to leave them after those 3 years of faithfully preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ to them. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And then think of dear Ruth, it drops into our name, when Boaz spoke to her, "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest." And do you not need the Lord to do for you all that you require? "For the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And now, you see, now is come. Is, there's no doubt about it. And may it be so in this dark and solemn day, and what you might, and now is. There's a certainty here. Didn't say it may be so. Now is come. Oh, it's come, you see. And when the Lord comes, and bring salvation. Here come with all the powers of heaven, as it goes on to say, and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. You see, the whole Trinity is involved in the wondrous work of salvation. Oh yes. You think of the dear dying thief. The time had come. It was now. He'd come to the close of his life. And oh, in those last moments cries out, doesn't he, to the dear Redeemer. Oh, that we might be found crying out to him now. None of us know whether it'll be the last hour. He acknowledged his sin before the God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus. But as he looks at Christ, what does he say? But this man hath done nothing amiss. He saw the perfection, the beauty, the suitability there was in the dear Redeemer, suited to his very case. This day, the Saviour said, it was salvation, wasn't it? Said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And what did the dear Saviour say? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, salvation had come for the dear man, and the Lord had come to save him. And then think of the woman of Samaria. Oh, how salvation came to her, midst all her sin, midst all the wickedness of her past life. The Lord had redeemed her from it all. He was her salvation. And I often quote it, but you think of those beautiful words that he spoke to her. And oh, how she could declare it in the city, couldn't she? Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. But she didn't leave it there, did she? Is not this the Christ? All her salvation was in the dear Redeemer. Now is come, is come. Christ had come, like as we learned earlier in the case of Simeon. He'd come. And what a day of salvation to the dear man. Now is come salvation. Oh, in this dark and solemn day, may the Lord whisper that to your soul and mine. But let me come low. Do we desire it? Well, let me name just one other. You go back to the children of Israel at the Red Sea. There they were. Oh, you know, many of the Lord's dear people know what it is to come to the Red Sea. They knew the power of the Egyptian army. Those dear children of Israel did. They knew they could not save themselves. It was this, thou must save and thou alone. Is that you, how you feel this morning? Well, poor soul, you think of them, there they were. Pharaoh pursuing them, overtaking them with that great host and army. The sea before them. He looked impossible, didn't it? But they were to prove this text. Now is come salvation. It was only the Lord that could make the way. It was only the Lord that could divide the sea. It was only the Lord that could deliver them from this great army. And when the time came, what did the Lord do? He overruled the law of gravity to deliver them. The waters stood a war on the right hand and a war on the left. and he took them through on dry land. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now has come salvation. And what did Moses say to them as they trembled before the sea? Fearing they were going to be destroyed. Fear ye not. He was the messenger of heaven. Stand still. The hardest thing in the world for the sinner to do, isn't it? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they were to stand still and see it. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord will do that with all your sins, poor soul. He'll put them all away as he manifests this blessed salvation. And the children of Israel knew that blessed salvation, didn't they? And oh, may we. But I must leave, the time's gone. Now is come salvation and strength. You're going to need this. And the kingdom of our God. And you know, when the Lord comes to his dear people, he'll bring the kingdom with him and the riches of the kingdom. And he'll flow right into your soul. And if I know anything about it, poor soul, when the Lord grants it, you'll wonder whether you're in the earth or where you are. You'll be lifted above it all. And the power of his Christ, that great Redeemer, his power for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Think of the apostle, as we name that, and I must leave it. You know, he was willing to leave all for Christ, wasn't he? He said, neither count I my life dear. He was willing to lay it all down to be with the dear Redeemer forever. Finish with the earth. He could well say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of glory, and not to me only, but to unto all them that love his appearing. And you know they're landed now safe. May we. Amen.